Well, Maxine Waters is a congresswoman. She's from liberal California. She doesn't live in her district with the homies who keep her in office. And while they live hand to hand, Maxine Waters lives in a swanky multi-million dollar mansion. Nature has not been kind to Ms. Waters, but it's not her appearance that labels her ugly. Last weekend, Maxine Waters called on her followers to harass anybody who works in the Trump administration. She told them to seek out the aides in restaurants and supermarkets and gas stations or wherever they can find them. Get in their face, she said. This came after another liberal, morally superior restaurant owner in Lexington, Virginia, refused to serve Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family and asked them to leave her restaurant. That restaurant is owned by a cousin of actress Meryl Streep. She is a far-left Democrat who exemplifies the intolerance of liberalism. Huckabee's only offense was that she worked in the Trump administration. Now, I'm old enough to remember when black people were refused service and asked to leave restaurants in this country. And Maxine Waters is old enough to know that as well. It was wrong then to claim moral superiority over others, and it is equally wrong now. Like him or not, Donald Trump is the President of the United States. How do we get any of the people's business done if disreputable people like Maxine Waters call for attacks against White House workers? Do liberal Democrats really want to start a screaming war in public places? That war would involve them, and they would have no peace. It's one thing to disagree with others. That's a right we all have. It's another thing to harass those you disagree with and try to make their lives miserable. Maxine Waters has attacked Donald Trump since before he was elected president. She is nasty, vile, and mentally challenged. In a word, she is dangerous with her unchecked calls for violence. Where are the leaders of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer? Why have they not immediately condemned the maniacal threats from Maxine Waters? Is it because she's a black woman and they fear a backlash? Or because they agree with Maxine Waters' hateful threats? Either way, they are guilty of silence in the face of anarchy. Now, if you're over the age of 50, the America we grew up in has changed for the worse, and we may be at a point where it cannot heal itself. The country is being torn apart by liberals and socialists from several directions all at once. This would not be possible without the willing fake news media that has lost all sense of credibility and decency. We begin with the orchestrated chaos of immigration on our southern border. Children have been separated from their parents who broke the law since 1996, long before Donald Trump became president. But Democrats and the fake news media refused to make an issue of it until now. Rich Lowry of the National Review pointed that out, and he was right. This latest furor over Trump immigration policy involved the separation of children from parents at the border. As usual, the fake outrage obscures more than it illuminates, so it's worth walking through what happened. For the longest time, illegal immigration was driven by single males from Mexico. Over the last decade, the flow has shifted to women, children, and family units from Central America. This poses challenges we have not confronted before and has made what once were relatively minor wrinkles in the law loom very large. The Trump administration did not change the rules that pertain to separating an adult from a child. Those rules have remained the same as under Obama. Separation happens only if officials find that the adult is falsely claiming to be the child's parent, or is a threat to the child, or is put into criminal proceedings. It's the last one that is operative here. The past practice under Obama had been to give a free pass to an adult who is part of a family unit. The new Trump policy is to prosecute all adults who break the law by crossing the border illegally. The idea is to send the signal that we are serious about our laws and to create a deterrent against reentry. Illegal entry is a misdemeanor. Illegal reentry is a felony. When a migrant is prosecuted for illegal entry, he or she is taken into custody by U.S. Marshals. In no circumstance, anywhere in the United States, do the Marshals undertake care for children they take into custody. The child is taken into custody by the Health and Human Services Department, who cares for them in temporary shelters. Those shelters are being called cages by Democrats and their fake news friends to harm Trump, but they are the same confinement areas that were used under Obama and the same steel fencing. If they were cages now, they're cages then. But you didn't hear that. The criminal proceedings are exceptionally short, assuming there is no aggravating factor, such as a prior illegal entry or another crime. The migrants generally plead guilty. They're sentenced to time served, typically all the same day, although practices vary along the border. After this, they are returned to the custody of ICE. If the adult then wants to go home, in keeping with the expedited order of removal that is issued as a matter of course, it's relatively simple. The adult is reunited quickly with his or her child, and the family is deported together. In that scenario, there's only a brief separation. Where it becomes more of an issue is if the adult files an asylum claim. In that scenario, the adults are almost certainly going to be detained longer than the government is allowed to hold their children. That's because of something called the Flores Decree from 1997. It says that the unaccompanied children can only be held for 20 days. A ruling by the liberal Ninth Circuit extended this 20-day limit to children who came as part of family units. So even if we want to hold a family unit together, we are forbidden to do so by law. The clock ticking on the time government can hold a child will almost always run out before an asylum claim can be settled. The migrant is allowed 10 days to seek an attorney, and there may be continuances or other complications. This creates the choice of either releasing the adults and children together into our country pending the application of the asylum claim, or holding the adults and releasing the children. If the adult is held, HHS places the child with a responsible party in the United States, ideally a relative, because these migrants likely have family and friends already here. Even if Flores didn't exist, the government is very constrained in how many family units it can accommodate. ICE has had only about 3,000 family spaces in shelters. Government is also limited in its overall space at the border, which is overwhelmed by the growing number of illegal aliens. This means that whatever the Trump administration prefers to do, many adults are still swiftly released into our country. So why try to hold these adults at all? First of all, if an asylum seeker is detained, it means that their claim goes through the process much more quickly, a couple of months or less rather than years. Second, if an adult is released while the claim is pending, the chances of ever finding that person once he or she is loose in the country are slim and none. They simply don't come back for trial. It is tantamount to allowing the illegal immigrants to live here, no matter what the merits of their case. A few points about this. The family units can go home quickly. The option that both honors our laws and keeps family units together is a swift return to their home country after prosecution. But immigrant advocates hate it because they want the migrants to stay in the United States. Frankly, the government should deny asylum to anybody who comes here illegally. There's a better way to claim asylum. Every indication is that the migrant flow to the United States is discretionary, It nearly dried up at the beginning of the Trump administration when migrants believed that they could no longer get into this country. Now it's going in earnest again because the message got out that, despite the rhetoric, the policy at the border has not changed. This strongly suggests that the flow overwhelmingly consists of economic migrants who would prefer to live in the United States rather than victims of persecution in their home country. Even if a migrant does have a credible fear of persecution, there is a legitimate way to pursue that claim, and it does not involve entering the United States illegally. First, such people should make their asylum claims in the first country where they feel safe. That would be Mexico or some other country they're passing through to get here. Second, if for some reason they feel threatened everywhere but the United States, they should show up at our port of entry and make their claim rather than crossing the border illegally. There is, obviously, a moral cost to separating a parent from a child, and almost everybody would prefer not to do it, including the president. But under current policy and with current resources, the only practical alternative is to let family units who show up at the border, let them loose in this country for the duration. Not only does that make a mockery of our laws, it creates an incentive for people to keep bringing their children with them. In April, the liberal New York Times reported this. They said, "Some migrants have admitted they brought their children with them not only to remove them from danger in such places as Central America and Africa, but because they believed it would cause the authorities to release them from custody sooner." Others have admitted to posing falsely with children who are not their own, and the Border Patrol reports that such instances of fraud are rapidly increasing. It is common to have parents give their children to a smuggler as a favor or for profit. If someone is determined to come here illegally, the decent and safest thing would be to leave the child at home with a relative and send money back home. Because we favor family units over single adults, we are creating an incentive to do the opposite and use children to cut deals with smugglers. Liberal Democrats want open borders where people can enter our country at will. All people, including rapists, murderers, drug dealers, terrorists, and child traffickers. These Democrat deplorables, to use Hillary Clinton's language, use any way, any means necessary to fight for open borders, because they view these illegal immigrants not as human beings, but future voters. Think of the world we would live in with open borders. Without borders, we have no country. Just how low will liberal Democrats and the fake news media go to turn public opinion against President Trump on this immigration issue? They willingly took videos and audio of children being held by HHS in which they avoided showing that these children are well cared for, that they are in air-conditioned comfort, that they are well fed and their quarters are clean. For many, it's the first time in their lives that they haven't lived in squalor, hungry, in intensive summer heat. The American taxpayer is being charged some $750 a day for each of these children, and with 3,000 of them, it costs us $2,250 a day to house these children, plus the cost of the adults. Now, Donald Trump did not create this mess. The Democrats know that. The media knows that. The Obama administration was having to separate these children from family members who had broken the law, and they did do that. What Trump did is to say that we will not pick and choose illegal aliens to prosecute. They all broke the law. They knew they were breaking the law, and they did it deliberately. And all should pay the consequences of their actions, not just a few. Think about this. If an American citizen breaks the law with children in tow and goes to jail, they are separated from those children. How are illegal immigrants different? The same liberals who are piling on President Trump's support, separating children from their mother through abortion, they support abortion. Those children are killed in the womb and not just separated from the parent for 20 days. They are separated for eternity. American citizens killed by illegal immigrants are separated from their families, and that number is increasing. President Trump, under heavy pressure from Democrats and the fake news media, signed an executive order last week to temporarily fix this problem. But it is Congress that created the problem, and a long-term fix can only be done by Congress. The trouble is that Democrats don't want it fixed. They want to use this misery as a means to buy votes from American citizens who have been terribly misled on the issue of who is responsible for the current mess. Congress can change the rules so the Flores consent decree will no longer apply, and it can appropriate more money for family shelters at the border. This is an obvious thing to do that would eliminate the tension between enforcing our laws and keeping family units together. The Trump administration has been throwing as many resources as it can at the border to expedite the process, and it desperately wants the Flores decree reversed. The missing piece here is Congress, but little outrage will be directed at Congress, and nothing probably will be done. And so our perverse system will remain in place, and the crisis at the border will rumble on. Here's what Bill O'Reilly, said last week on this problem. He said, "It is quite apparent that the national press in America is no longer concerned with finding the truth about important matters. Ideology and the crass pursuit of profits have pretty much destroyed honest journalism in this country. A vivid example is the chaos surrounding the southern border. Millions of foreign-born people have illegally crossed from Mexico, and Congress still cannot come up with policies that might stem that tide. The truth about what is happening down there is horrifying, but largely unreported. Smuggling human beings into the United States is now an enormous criminal enterprise that operates openly in Central America and Mexico. The process begins usually with young men who scour poor neighborhoods for desperate people who want to live in America. They then direct those migrants to the actual smugglers, called coyotes, a term invented in the 19th century to describe Mexicans who provided laborers to the southwestern United States. The modern coyotes, often associated with the Mexican drug gangs, are ultra-violent and in charge of setting the fees the migrants must pay them. Prices vary widely, and they're negotiable, but $2,000 a head is the common charge. The coyotes arrange transportation to the border and lodge the migrants in cheap hotels before the crossing. The longer the trip, the higher the fee. Coyotes also dispense advice, like, if you bring a child, the gringos are more likely to let you stay if you get caught. Mexican officials are bribed along the way, as the migrant pipelines are well known to authorities. Coyotes are often brutal to the defenseless migrants, especially the women. Mexican police generally don't care, so anything goes. Once at the U.S. border, the cuganderos, or caretakers, enter the picture, guiding migrants across the border and bringing them to safe houses where they stay just a few hours before going on their way. That is, if they aren't dead. Last year, the international group Migration reported 412 migrant deaths, but of course, the number was much higher. Thousands of trekkers simply disappear. The humane policy would be to crush the people smuggling industry by making it extremely difficult to illegally cross our border. A well-designed wall would go a long way in accomplishing that, and so would mandatory E-Verify for American employers with criminal penalties for those who refuse to comply. The Democratic Party strongly opposes the wall and criminal penalties for violating immigration law, even in cases of violent criminal aliens. Kate's Law, which would mandate federal prison time for criminals who defy deportation, was killed by Democrats under Barack Hussein Obama. The press will never report the incredible violence and corruption surrounding the policy. of smuggling cartels. For the far left, open borders should be our policy, and anybody who opposes that is a bigot. The media is sympathetic to that point of view. If Americans actually knew how awful the border situation really is, perhaps then Congress would move to protect we the people, as well as the poor migrants themselves. But the folks don't know, and the press will not tell them. O'Reilly was so right in what he said. What the American people do not understand is that these illegal immigrants, with very rare exceptions, are not people who sat around the dinner table and decided to make a long trek to the United States border on their own. It is a media-concocted lie that these children are walking across the desert in dire straits. One of the ways to destroy a country is to saddle it with unsustainable debt, and that is what is happening on my immigration. We are already more than $21 trillion in debt, and that debt is rising rapidly. We simply cannot take in all of the world's downtrodden people. Now, John Hayward offered input on the amnesty movement, and my research incorporates it into this commentary. First, I sometimes have people who have been lifelong Democrats ask me why I'm so hard on that party. It's not because I'm a Republican, because I'm not. It's because the party you used to support and vote for left you in the dust unless you agree with the far-left people like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, socialist Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters, Elizabeth Warren, and others who wear the Democrat badge. I find them and mental midgets from Hollywood detestable. All Democrats are not bad people. There was a time when being a Democrat meant something else entirely. That time is no more. Today's Democrat leadership, represented by the people I just named, is dishonest, unethical, and lacks any ideas of its own for the future of the country. They are consumed with hate, and their only platform is the politics of division and personal attack. If that's what you want to support, that's your prerogative. But don't labor under the mistaken perception that you are supporting your country. I'm old enough to remember when amnesty shills were promising that illegal aliens would become a fabulous source of tax revenue as soon as we legalized them. We were sternly commanded to ignore all of those studies showing the legalized alien population would be a staggering drain on our immense welfare state. The authors of such studies were torn to shreds for being short-sighted and for xenophobia. Those amnesty shills who spent years telling us illegal aliens were a poor and oppressed minority, eking out a sparse existence from predatory employers while living miserably in the shadows, have now spun on a dime and said to forget all that jive and believe their new party line, that these Americans in waiting are far more productive than existing American citizens, including the chumps who waited in line for years to immigrate legally. Jeb Bush, to name a prominent example, often spoke as if he considers illegals superior to Americans in their sense of family responsibility and work ethic, generally leaving the subject of their disregard for our laws to discuss another day. But here in the real world, everyone with a lick of sense knew that amnesty critics were correct. Over the past few decades, we've built up a welfare state so gigantic and so aggressive about recruiting new dependents that plenty of native-born U.S. citizens with fairly decent jobs are now collecting welfare. Consider that we only had a couple of months in the entire eight-year Obama era where the overall American workforce actually grew. Even in months where the headlines blared that the official unemployment rate had dropped, the workforce had also declined. Introducing millions of new job seekers into such a weak economy by presidential fiat, as Obama did, is irresponsible. The amnesty crowd's biggest swindle has already been exposed as a ridiculous lie. Those illegals are not going to be paying any back taxes to earn their citizenship. They're going to be able to collect money from the IRS through tax credits up to $35,000 apiece. To add insult to taxpayer injury, the Social Security Administration has confirmed that amnestied aliens will be able to collect benefits from Social Security. We're not talking about people stealing Social Security numbers and using them to scam benefits. That's already happening on an incredible scale. And the Social Security Administration doesn't even take the simple precautionary measure of questioning how nearly 4,000 people could be collecting benefits while claiming to be older than 113. Its system doesn't even seem to have problems with a few thousand active Social Security clients who claim to have been born before the Civil War. We only learned about that crisis thanks to an inquiry from Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, who asked the SSA to run the numbers on how many of our new Americans would be collecting benefits legally after Obama illegally dismantled our citizenship laws. The chief actuary responded that he expected about 16,000 new Americans to begin collecting old age survivors and disability insurance benefits by 2017, with the total rising steadily over the next four decades until it hits 695,000. It assumes the flow of illegal aliens will decrease, but in reality, we will be hit by wave after wave of new illegal immigrants looking for their piece of the amnesty pie. Meanwhile, we're being told that Social Security will run out of money sooner than they had anticipated. This flow will only decrease if President Trump remains vigorously being about building nearly impregnable border security, and fast. But Trump's efforts have been delayed by liberal Democrats, many of which were in favor of a southern wall just in years past. They only began to fight that wall when Trump was elected. We've always gotten promises of such security, of course. We've been hearing them for decades. While the mighty host of illegal aliens marched across the border and ostensibly checkmate our ruling class into making them citizens. The chance of it actually happening quickly are not favorable as long as Democrats have their way. Another rosy assumption on Social Security Administration's part will begin focusing more heavily on identifying and deporting illegal aliens who represent threats to national security, border security, and public safety. We've been hearing that promise for decades, too, while illegal alien criminals happily ride the catch-and-release merry-go-round, popping up on American soil again and again, some after even committing serious crimes. For those who don't fully understand the catch-and-release program, let me explain. Illegal aliens caught crossing our border and who are caught merely sign an agreement to show up for a future court date, and they are released into our country. Of course, they never show up for court, but fade into the background, some even after committing serious crimes. During shutdown theater, the Obama administration thought nothing of releasing a huge number of alien criminals as part of its effort to terrorize the American people into thinking that even the most limited government shutdown is instantly unbearable. Columnist Ann Coulter noted that illegal aliens kill far more Americans in a month than ISIS has during its entire existence. But we're not even allowed to discuss the former as a security threat, let alone to treat them as if they are one. If the biggest swindle perpetrated by the amnesty chorus was the ludicrous notion that illegals would pony up a fortune in back taxes to claim their citizenship papers, the second biggest is the promise that once they've got a few million more Democrat voters and cheap laborers squared away, the ruling class will suddenly begin administrating the rest of the citizenship apparatus with renewed vigor. And lastly, more than 80% of legal immigrants say the U.S. is a unique country that stands for something special in the world. These are legal immigrants. When they go to the time and expense of becoming legal U.S. citizens, they appreciate this country. Illegal immigrants pay no price, waste no time in getting here, and they don't have the affection for America. We must build the wall between Mexico and the United States for security. That wall would have a door in it, and all who qualify to enter the United States could come through that door. We also have to commit more agents to the border and use electronics to stop illegal entry. This is not as complicated as Democrats and the fake news media want to make it. The same Democrats who in the past have supported the building of the wall are there today opposed to it simply as a political ploy to use against the president. Meanwhile, the flow of illegal aliens and drugs continues. So let's place the blame where it belongs, on a partisan political fight where each side is willing to let the country suffer while they attempt to gain a voting advantage. The swamp is alive and doing well.